The right idea can change everything, but the right community changes the game. The First Million is always the hardest, connects entrepreneurs and real estate developers to the best books, podcasts, and social channels, and live events that fuel success. No hype, just knowledge and network and next level growth. Join us on Facebook and Instagram at The First Million Podcast and turn your first million into your foundation for more.
Most people don't fail because they lack motivation. They fail because they never address the same five obstacles that show up every single year. In today's episode of The First Million is Always the Hardest, I'm breaking down the five objections that stop people from achieving their goals. Time, money, fear, doubt, and partner resistance. This is a year in reflection and a blueprint for the year ahead. If you want different results, this is where work starts.
Welcome back to The First Million is Always the Hardest, the show where we break down real decisions, real barriers, and real opportunities facing high-performing professionals and entrepreneurs on the journey towards wealth, independence, and fulfillment. I'm your host, Bo Kemp, builder, partner, coach, and creator of the Life Design System, because transformation isn't accidental, it's engineered. And today's episode comes at a critical moment. We are at the end of the year. That season when you take stock of your goals, reflect on the commitments that you made back in January, and honestly assess what you've achieved, what stalled, and what needs to evolve in the year ahead. Most people skip this step. They roll into next year with unexamined habits, unchallenged assumptions, and unresolved barriers. But not you. Not if you're listening to the show. Not if you're committed to building your first million financially, emotionally, professionally, or creatively. Because the way you close one year determines the altitude at which you begin the next. And that's why today's episode is personal. Today's episode is about you. Today, we're talking about the five objections, the five internal stopping points that keep talented people from becoming who they were meant to be. These objections shape your performance this year. They shape your opportunities next year. And the core of the life audit inside of the Life Design course, where the real work of transformation begins. Whether you're watching this on video or listening in your car or on your walk, by the end of today's session, you'll know exactly which of the five objections has been limiting your progress and what to do about it. Let's get started. Why the five objections matter and how the life audit makes them visible. People think their obstacles are external. I didn't have time. I didn't have money. I was scared. I wasn't sure I could do it. My partner would never support this. But after coaching thousands of professionals, builders, entrepreneurs, I'll tell you what's true. Your obstacles are rarely external. They are internal narratives that shape how you use time, energy, money, focus, and relationships. And that's why the Life Audit, the first step of the Life Design System, exists. It's structured diagnostic that evaluates your energy, your values, your financial readiness, your purpose, and your path alignment. It reveals patterns you can't see. It clarifies choices you haven't named, and it exposes assumptions you've never tested. As we move through the five objections today, I will bring in the life audit exercises, the surveys, the worksheets, the reflection tools, because they are what makes the difference between knowing your objection and actually overcoming it. Let's begin with one that people say first and defend the hardest. I don't have enough time. If there's a universal objection, this is it. But everyone believes it's their truth. But time is the only resource every human being receives equally. So the real question is not, do I have enough time? The real question is, what am I doing with the time I have? That's why inside the Life Design System, the time objection is not addressed with motivation. It's addressed with data, structure, and awareness. We ground this objection in two simple goals. Goals that become transformational once they are consistently met. Goal number one, find 2 hours per week to invest in learning. Goal number two, find 20 hours per month to invest in doing. These two goals become the foundation of your growth. The 2 hours of learning build your long-term capability, the knowledge that compounds. The 20 hours of doing build your habits, the actions that create momentum. But neither happens by accident. They happen because you audit your time and engineer your schedule. And that's where the Life Design Time Objection exercises come in. the exercises that reveal your capacity. Inside the Life Audit Workbook, we start with a sequence of exercises designed to expose where your time, and more importantly, where your energy are actually going. The energy inventory, one of the systems, tracks your physical, mental, emotional, motivational, and social energy across multiple days. The time commitment map helps map out every commitment and rating it by what drains you, what energizes you, what's non-negotiable. The energy pie chart is a visualization strategy that helps you understand how your energy is distributed across work, family, recovery, self-care, and obligations. And the capacity threshold journal identifies the 1 hour a day that you could relocate, reallocate, and identify what you need to let go in order to pursue other opportunities around business. These exercises work together. They reveal not just where your time is going, but what you're doing with your time. But the real breakthrough is what these exercises produce. They produce an ideal workflow, and that's what I want to unpack now. If you're watching the video, you'll see a slide titled Time Commitment Example Ideal Workflow 12-Hour Workday. To our audio listeners, let me paint this picture. This is a slide of a full day schedule that includes sleep, morning routines, think work, meetings, breaks, relationship time, and personal time. It's broken into time frame, activity, goal, purposes, and support. On the right side, there's some insights summarizing the design. Goals, for example, for me, around 7 hours of sleep, plus 2 hours a day dedicated to body, mind, and soul, so that roughly 40% of my day is dedicated to mind, body, and soul. 17% of my work day is dedicated to think work, opportunities to be thoughtful, to add significant value. 17% of my day is dedicated to people management, people that I need to connect to in order to execute the work. And about 30% of my day is dedicated towards developing and maintaining relationships. This is not a rigid schedule. This is an engineered framework, a time-aligned system that supports your goals, your energy, your long-term development. But here's what's important. This ideal day didn't appear by magic. It emerged from a life audit exercises. The energy inventory showed when I was cognitively sharpest. Those slots became the 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. think work window for me. The time commitment map helped reveal how many meetings were draining, which led to limiting operations meetings to 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and pushing relationship building into my late afternoons. The energy pie chart made it clear that I needed daily breaks to sustain creativity, leading to the 11 a.m. walk, music, and meeting block. And the capacity journal identified where my reclaimable hours were hiding, which unlocked the time for deep work, reading, studying, and strategic thinking. This ideal day created the conditions for the two goals. 2 hours a week of learning were found inside the 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. block, and 20 hours per month of doing emerged from the open afternoon blocks that had previously been swallowed by unscheduled and reactive meetings. The ideal workflow didn't create time. It revealed it, and then it structured it. Let me bring this to life with my own story. There was a period when I knew I needed to deepen my understanding of trust strategies, legal structures, and tax planning. I knew this knowledge would shape the way I built wealth, protected assets, and set up long-term structures for my family and future investments. But like many of you, I didn't have the time, or so I thought. I was running an organization, multiple organizations, traveling, managing relationships, supporting teams, raising a family. It felt like every hour was spoken for. But once I completed the exercises that are part of this life audit, something became crystal clear. I had time. It just wasn't organized in service of my goals. And through the time commitment map, I realized that I wasn't using my early mornings effectively. I also realized that I had scattered low-value activities throughout the week that drained me but added little to my purpose or outcomes. So I made a shift. I carved out 2 hours per week inside my ideal 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. think work block time, specifically for tax, trust, and legal structure learning. 2 hours, not 20, just two. And over weeks and months, those 2 hours created exponential returns. The more I learned, the more I could see the opportunities. The more I understood, the more precisely I could restructure my assets. The more I understood, the more I could identify strategies that most people never gain access to. But here's the truth. None of that would have happened without leveraging these life audit exercises because those exercises created the ideal workflow, and the workflow created the conditions for transformation. Those 2 hours per week altered the trajectory of my financial life. They reshaped my ability to build wealth, structure deals, protect assets, and influence economic outcomes. And the same is possible for anyone who applies this process. The time objective is not about your calendar. It's about your alignment. The life audit exercises shows you where your energy peaks, where your time leaks, where your commitments misalign, where your hours are being spent on the wrong priorities, where small adjustments produce major capacity. And the ideal workday is the living blueprint of that insight. When you follow these structures, you don't just find 2 hours of learning and 20 hours of doing. You protect them. You honor them. And ultimately, you rely on them to propel your future forward. Because the learning hours compound your intellect, and the doing hours compound your action. Together, they build your path to mastery. And overcoming time objection is the doorway to every other breakthrough in the life design system. So now that we've dismantled the time objection with structure, with exercises, and with real-world proof, let's move into the second major barrier, the belief that you don't have enough money. I don't have enough money. Now that we've reframed the time objection and identified two foundational goals, 2 hours per week of learning and 20 hours a month of doing, we can finally talk about the objection that sits right underneath it. I don't have enough money. For many people, this objection feels logical. It feels responsible. It feels grounded in reality. But here's the truth. Money is not the goal. Money is the support structure that makes your learning possible, and it makes your doing profitable. Money is fuel. But unless you clarify what that money is fueling, you'll never generate enough of it because the goal is vague and the path is undefined. Inside the life design system, we overcome the money objective by breaking it into three escalating budgets, each one supporting a different stage of your transformation. Let's walk through them one by one. The learning budget, the least expensive and most foundational, supporting your 2 hours of learning per week. When you commit to learning 2 hours per week, you must also commit to investing in the inputs that make those hours meaningful. This is your learning budget. The budget covers books, courses, masterclasses, seminars, conferences, specialized training, audio programs, learning communities. Depending on your goals, this budget can range from $500 to $10,000 per year. What matters is not the amount. What matters is the intention. This is the budget that strengthens your capability. It is the fuel for your long-term growth. It ensures your learning hours compound into mastery rather than stagnate into repetition. A person with a learning budget is someone who has decided to become more valuable, not someday, but now. Number two, the opportunity search budget, a medium investment with high return, supporting your 20 hours per month of doing. After investing in learning, the next step is investing in search, because most people need to generate more income to achieve their long-term goals. This is where the opportunity search budget comes in. This budget supports your exploration of revenue-generating paths, side hustles, freelance work, consulting and certification, entry into entrepreneurship, preliminary research for business acquisition, part-time gigs, or coaching and guidance and other ways of finding viable income. The budget for this search usually comes in a range between $2,000 and $20,000. The purpose is simple. You are investing in the process of finding new income. Yes, people can reallocate funds from personal spending or from savings. Many can carve off enough savings to support both the learning budget and the early stage search efforts. But for most, the opportunity search requires a commitment to future income, not just cutting expenses. And this is the budget that converts your clarity into traction. It's the investment that begins to multiply your earnings potential. The third and final financial goal is the investment needs budget. This is a budget that funds the actual opportunity you discover through searching. It fuels acquiring a business, launching a product, investing in equipment, securing professional services, finding initial marketing, building systems, entering a franchise, or creating any form of new income. Depending on the nature of this opportunity, the budget can range from as little as $10,000 to as much as $100,000 or more. This is not the first budget. this is not the beginner stage. This budget only comes after you've built the learning foundation, you've invested in the search, you've identified a viable opportunity aligned with your skills, values, and risk profile. This budget is the engine that turns vision into execution. It's important to say this clearly. You do not need this budget on day one. You do not need this budget to start. You only need this budget once you know exactly what you're investing in. Inside the Life Audit Workbook, there are several tools that support this reframing. One, there's a financial readiness assessment. This exercise helps you understand your financial starting point, monthly surplus and deficit, non-negotiable expenses, optional spending, savings rate, your debt profile, your current assets, liquidity. People often discover that they have more flexibility than expected, or that small and targeted adjustments can unlock significant resources. Number two is your risk profile assessment. Here we evaluate your emotional reaction to risk, your tolerance for uncertainty, your personal version of safe, your recovery capacity, whether you lean conservative or aggressive in opportunity selection. This tool ensures your financial decisions align with who you are, not who you think you're supposed to be. Risk doesn't disappear, but it becomes something you can evaluate rather than avoid. Number three, values alignment audit. This is where the real breakthrough happens. You evaluate whether your financial decisions, A, honor your values, support your long-term identity, reinforce your life vision, align with your family and partner responsibilities, and reflect the future you want to build. When your values align with your financial strategy, money stops being emotional and it becomes intentional. Money is not the barrier. Money is the infrastructure that supports your ability to learn, to search, to choose, and to build. Money is a tool that is useful once you define what you're building. When you break down the objection of money into its three components, the learning budget, the search budget, and the investment budget, you transform something overwhelming into something actionable. You move from "I don't have enough money" to "I now know what I need money for." And once you know what you need money for, you can create a plan to generate, save, and invest the amounts that are required. This is how you overcome the money objection. Not with hope, not with luck, but with clarity, structure, and intentional financial design. Now that we've reframed money into these three strategic budgets, let's talk about the objection that stops more people than any other. The one rooted not in your schedule or your finances, but in your emotion, fear. What if I fail? Fear is the most human of all objections. Fear speaks in whispers and questions. What if I fail? What if I make the wrong move? What if I'm not ready? What will people think? And for most people, fear is not loud. Fear is paralyzing. It doesn't stop you by force. It stops you by doubt. But here's the truth. Fear almost never comes from danger. Fear comes from uncertainty. And this is where the life design system and the work that you've already done around time and money becomes transformational. Because the fear you feel today is not the fear you will feel once you've completed the process. Let me explain. Before you apply structure, before you audit time, before you clarify your financial goals, risk feels amorphous. It feels like standing in fog with no sense of direction. This is when people either freeze or leap blindly. Freezing is paralysis. Blind leaping is recklessness. But once you've completed the time objection work, the ideal workflow, 2 hours a week of learning, 20 hours a week of doing, the learning, search, and investment budgets, something profound starts to happen. Your risk profile starts to shift. You move away from guessing to knowing, from hoping to planning, from reacting to designing. And you're no longer dealing with vague fear. You're dealing with structured, informed decision-making. And in this environment, risk becomes calculated, not reckless. A calculated risk is with time, budget, a process, support systems, a measurable purpose, a known upside, and a managed downside. Fear doesn't disappear, but it becomes something you can manage and evaluate, not something that controls you. Now let's talk about one of the most important shifts that happens when you commit to 2 hours per week of learning. People enter this process thinking they fear failure, but what they actually fear is the unknown. As your knowledge compounds, something remarkable starts to happen. You gain the ability not only to assess the risk of taking action, but to assess the risk of not taking action. Most people overestimate the pain of failure and underestimate the cost of inaction. This is how they get stuck. 5 years in a career they no longer love, 10 years with no financial progress, 15 years of not knowing how to change or how to take the next step. But once you start learning, once you start understanding markets, industries, revenue models, assets, tax structures, pathways to entrepreneurship, you begin to see clearly inaction has a measurable cost. And sometimes that cost is far greater than the cost of trying and failing. People rarely calculate the income they didn't earn, the opportunities they never explored, the skills they never developed, the years they can't get back. The regret compounds quietly over time. The learning process reframes fear because it reframes reality. Knowledge doesn't just expand your options. Knowledge expands your courage. Inside the Life Audit Workbook, we use a set of exercises designed to take fear apart piece by piece. This is where we focus on elevated dreams and aspirations, and the core of it is helping you separate emotional fear from objective danger. For those watching, the slide here highlights three dimensions and distinctions: danger versus fear, calculated versus reckless risk, and the cost of inaction. Let's break these down. Danger versus fear. Danger is objective. It's measurable. It's real. Fear is emotional. It's anticipatory. It's often imaginary. A danger situation requires caution. A fearful situation requires clarity. By using structured exercises, reflection prompts, emotional mapping, risk classification, you learn to see this is real, this is imagined, this is manageable, this is something I can prepare for, and that separation is everything. A reckless risk is one taken without information, preparation, budget, or plan. A calculated risk is one taken with learning, structure, resources, time, and strategy and support. Overcoming the time and money objections automatically shifts you into a calculated territory. Why? Because you've reclaimed capacity. You've built routines. You've assigned learning hours, built a financial runway, created investment categories, identified your risk tolerance, and connected your goals to your values. This is how high performers move intelligently, not by avoiding risk, but by structuring it. The Life Audit uses journal prompts, reflections, and structured financial exercises to help you measure the cost of staying where you are. But once you write those costs down, once you see them clearly, fear starts to lose its grip. Most people stay stuck not because the action is too risky, but because the inaction feels comfortable. But comfort can be dangerous. Comfort can be expensive. Comfort can be the silent architect of regret. When the cost of inaction becomes visible, the fear of action decreases dramatically. Most people's fear is driven by the concern of failure. They imagine the worst-case scenarios. They imagine embarrassment. They imagine loss. But here's what people almost never consider: the cost of doing nothing. What you lose by not acting: skills, time, momentum and opportunities, income, identity, and agency. When you recalibrate risk, when you weigh the cost of failure against the cost of inaction, a substantial portion of fear evaporates. Because real fear isn't failing. Real fear is staying the same. The purpose of this entire system, the time audit, the ideal workday, the learning, search, and investment budgets, your risk profile and alignment of frameworks, is to give fear a structure. When fear has no structure, it becomes a wall. When fear has structure, it becomes information. This is the section of the life audit process that doesn't eliminate fear, it transforms it. Fear becomes a teacher. Fear becomes a signal. Fear becomes a compass. Fear becomes something you can analyze, not something that controls your life. And once fear is structured, you're able to make decisions that honor your future, not decisions that protect your past. So now that we've dismantled fear, not by ignoring it, but by understanding it, let's move to the next objection. The question of whether you can actually do this: doubt. Do you get that knot in your stomach every Sunday night? You've checked all the boxes, career, title, income. But if you're honest, this is not the life you imagined. What if the problem isn't you? It's the design of your life. I'm Bo. I help high performers redesign their lives for freedom, purpose, and real wealth. Join my masterclass and I'll walk you through the exact framework. Go to lifedesign.com. That's LifeDesyn.com. Your new chapter doesn't start someday. It starts now.
You're listening to The First Million is Always the Hardest. We are now returning to the show.
Doubt is the quiet objection. It doesn't shout like fear. It whispers. And it whispers sounds like this. I'm not sure I can do this, but here's the truth. Doubt is not the lack of capability. Doubt is the lack of evidence. Your brain isn't saying you can't do this. Your brain is saying, I haven't seen enough proof yet. And that distinction changes everything. Because if doubt is about evidence, then doubt is something that we can engineer our way through. In the same way that our hopes and dreams help us separate reckless risk from calculated risk to overcome fear, we use the underlying desires inside those same hopes and dreams to overcome doubt. Fear improves when you define the risk. Doubt improves when you define the path. Because dreams without structure overwhelm us, but dreams with structure, with steps, stages, and milestones, empower us. This is the heart of the life design approach. Inside the Life Audit Workbook, the objection is addressed in this section entitled Expand Your Threshold of Control. This is where we take emotional energy from your desires, your wantings, your aspirations, and vision, and convert them into actionable, confidence-building steps. The tool for this is called the ladder of difficulty. It works like this. You start with a desire. You break it into its components. You turn components into tasks. And you order these tasks from easiest to hardest. You begin where success is almost guaranteed, and you climb upward. Every rung gives your brain evidence. Every rung builds self-trust. Every rung increases threshold of control. This is not a motivational theory. This is neurology. Your brain's confidence center, the prefrontal cortex, responds not to inspiration, but to wins. Small wins, stacked wins, repeated wins. Wins that tell your brain, I am capable. I can do this. I've already done the steps like this before. Doubt dissolves in the presence of accumulated proof. There is a truth I've seen in my whole life and in the lives of countless professionals. You don't think your way into confidence. You perform your way into confidence. When you perform even the smallest version of a desired behavior, you take one step up the ladder. Your brain encodes that success. That success becomes evidence. That evidence becomes confidence. And that confidence restricts doubt's ability to distort your perception. Doubt cannot survive repeated demonstration of capacity. This is the science behind habits, learning, performance, and long-term behavioral change. The Life Design System intentionally links your time audit, your learning budget, your opportunity search budget, your risk profile, values, and ideal workday together because they create the conditions for evidence accumulation. When your time is structured, your money is directed, fears are reframed, goals are clarified, actions are sequenced, you stop wrestling with self-doubt and you start demonstrating self-evidence. This is why we also focus on the installation of new habits and practices, daily learning, weekly doing, scheduled reflection, task batching, progress tracking, repetition with increasing development. Each habit is a micro evidence generator. Each practice becomes another rung on the ladder. Each action reaffirms your emerging identity. And once your identity begins to shift, you start seeing yourself as someone with capacity. Doubt loses its power. Let's connect the dots. The energy inventory shows you when you are strongest. The time commitment map shows you when you can release. The ideal workflow gives you the structure to act. The learning budget fuels your understanding. The opportunity budget fuels your exploration. The investment budget fuels your execution. Your risk profile shapes your decisions. The value audit aligns your choices. The cost of inaction reframes your urgency. The ladder of difficulty turns dreams into steps, and habits and practices plan creates recurring wins. Together, these tools do something incredibly powerful. They convert desire into proof, and proof is the antidote to doubt. This is the process through which people discover that capability was never the issue. The issue was the absence of visible evidence. Because human beings don't need perfection to move forward. We need confirmation. We need the experience of showing up, taking action, completing steps, learning from mistakes, and climbing the ladder. That's how confidence is built. That's how doubt is erased. That's how we expand our threshold of control. Now that we've grounded confidence in structure, evidence in action, we can move to the final objection, the one that connects not just to you, but to people who rely on you. I have responsibilities. People depend on me. The final objection is often the most complex and the most misunderstood. When people hear partner, they often think spouse. But in the life design system, partner has a much broader meaning. A partner is anyone whose life is meaningfully affected by your decisions. That might be a spouse, it might be a child, an aging parent, a sibling you support, a co-parent, a business partner, a close friend you help financially, a mentor you feel obligated to, anyone whose stability is tied to your stability. And that's why this objection hits so hard. Because it's not about logistics. It's about your responsibility. It's about identity. It's about stewardship of others. People who carry responsibility for others do not take risk lightly, nor should they. But there is a truth that most people don't realize. The partner objection isn't really about your partner's fears. It's about your fear of how your choices will affect them. And the only way to overcome this objection is through clarity, communication, and an honest understanding of how the change impacts the people you care about. In this life audit workbook, the objection is captured in the panel entitled Engage and Prepare Other Parties. It has three goals: identify those fears, plan to gain their support, monitor and address ongoing concerns. Each of these steps is essential because change doesn't happen in a vacuum. Your transformation creates ripple effects, and the people in your life feel those ripples. The question is, are they prepared for them? Have they been invited into the process? Do they understand what's happening? Let's break down these goals. Number one, identifying their fears. We often project onto our partner. We assume we know what they're worried about. They're scared of losing money. They're afraid I'll be too busy. They won't like the risk involved. But more often than not, their real fears are emotional, not practical. Will our lifestyle change? Will I lose time with you? Will you become someone I don't recognize? Will I be left behind? Will your success distance us? Will this decision put pressure on me? These are quiet fears, unspoken fears, human fears. And until you invite those fears to the surface, the partner objection will always feel heavy. This is not about convincing people. It's about aligning with them. It means sharing your goals, explaining your process, outlining your timeline, clarifying financial plans, and showing the risk calculation tools that you've used. Demonstrating how the life audit has created clarity, asking for what you need, not assuming it. Support doesn't mean agreement. Sometimes support simply means awareness. But awareness is powerful. Awareness builds trust. Awareness builds alignment. And alignment reduces resistance. This objection isn't resolved with one conversation. It's a relationship dynamic that evolves over time. Change affects your schedule. Change affects your availability. It affects your energy, your identity. If you never revisit the conversation, if you never check in, if you never ask, how is this affecting you, then the pressure builds silently. Small misunderstandings become fractures. Unaddressed concerns become resentment. And resentment becomes sabotage, intentional or unintentional. The life design system teaches you to treat this objection as a process, not an event, because solid relationships thrive when they adapt together. Let me share the perspective that people often overlook. The partner objective isn't just about a spouse saying, I'm not sure you should do this. It's about a child who suddenly feels like they're getting less from you, a parent who relies on your support and fears instability, a sibling who sees you as their anchor, a business partner who depends on your time, a co-parent whose routine changes when yours changes, a loved one who's worried they'll fall down the priority list. When you dedicate time, energy, and money to a new project, even a great project, your partner and dependent will feel the shift. Their lives are intertwined with yours. Your growth creates movement, and movement affects them. What I've seen over and over again is this. Most partner conflicts don't come from disagreement. They come from surprise. People don't resent your growth. They resent being left out of the conversation. When you're up front and you explain the change, the timeline, the budget, the reason, the vision, even if your partner is nervous, they feel respected. And when you check in regularly, they feel included. And when you ask about their concerns, they feel valued. And when you adjust where needed, they feel secure. Skipping this step almost always leads to problems, not because of the goal, but because of the communication around the goal. The partner objective is not a barrier. It's a relationship checkpoint. Handled well, it strengthens your support system. Handled poorly, it destabilizes it. Overcoming the partner objection is essential because your goals affect the people you love, their fears affect your emotional state affects your execution. This objection is deeply intertwined with sustainability. If you try to build your future but lose your support system along the way, the success will feel hollow and often temporary. But when you engage the people who matter, when you explain your structure, when you show them your ideal workday, your time audit, planning, the budgets, your risk profile, the ladders of difficulty, all the different elements that we've discussed, something profound happens. They see that your decision is not reckless. They see that your risk is calculated. They see your growth as a plan. They see their role matters. They see that you've considered the impact, not ignored it. This turns apprehension into alignment, fear into understanding, and resistance into partnership. And partnership, true partnership, is one of the greatest accelerators of long-term success. So now that we've addressed the five objections, time, money, fear, doubt, and partner, we can finally bring them together. Let's close with the integration that connects all of these pieces into a cohesive path forward. As we close today's conversation, I want to bring everything covered into one clear, integrated understanding. We started with the recognition that at the end of every year and before the beginning of every new one, the most important thing we can do is assess who we have become and who we intend to be next. Whether you're aiming to start a business, expand your income, redesign your career, or simply reclaim control over your life, the truth remains consistent. Your success is not determined by what's outside of you. It is determined by the way you navigate what's inside of you. That's why the five objections matter so deeply, because these objections are not external barriers. They are internal signals pointing you towards the next level of clarity. And let's walk through them one last time very quickly. Time, the objection of capacity. You've learned that time is not something you have. Time is something you design. And through the life audit process, the ideal workday, your energy inventory, your time commitment map, you can discover how to reclaim capacity to learn 2 hours a week and to act 20 hours a month. This is how momentum begins. Money, the objection of resources. You've learned that money is not a limiter. Money is an enabler of the path you're building. And by defining three escalating budgets, a learning budget, an opportunity search budget, and an investment needs budget, you've transformed a vague sense of not enough into a structured, intentional financial strategy. This is how opportunity becomes measurable. Fear, the objection of uncertainty. You've learned that fear is not a stop sign. Fear is a compass pointing towards growth. And once you've separated danger from fear, once you've shifted from reckless to calculated risk, and once you've evaluated the cost of inaction, fear becomes something you can manage, something that you can move with, not run from. And this is how courage becomes practical. Doubt, the objection of evidence. You've learned that doubt is not a lack of ability. Doubt is a lack of proof. And through the ladder difficulty, the habit installation framework, and the neurology-backed process of stacking small wins, You built the evidence your brain needs to believe in your capability. And this is how confidence becomes structural. Partner in the objection of responsibility. And finally, you learned that partnership, whether a spouse, a child, a parent, or anyone who depends on you, is not an obstacle to your growth. It is a part of your design. By identifying their fears, inviting them into your process, creating a plan for alignment, and checking in over time, you transform resistance into support. This is how stability becomes sustainability. Each objection, time, money, fear, doubt, partner, is not a wall blocking your path. It's a diagnostic checkpoint, revealing what needs attention, what needs structure, what needs clarity, what needs alignment. And when you apply the full life design methodology, the life audit, the exercises, the ideal work day, the budgets and habits, you stop navigating your life reactively. You start designing your life intentionally. This is not about hustle. This is not about grinding. This is not about forcing outcomes. This is about alignment. Alignment between who you are, who you want to be, and how you want to move. And once everything aligns, momentum accelerates. You become more capable. You become more focused. You become more consistent. And you become more powerful in your own decisions. That is the essence of transformation. That is the foundation of your first million. And that is what this work is all about. If today's episode resonated with you, if you recognized yourself in any of the five objections, if you felt even a moment of clarity, energy, or possibility, then I invite you to take the next step and go to lifedesign.com. That's LifeDesign.com and join the Life Design Masterclass. This is where we take everything we discussed today and apply it to your life with a full life audit, worksheets, budgets and tools, coaching frameworks, a system and personalized and adjusted execution plans. Whether you pursue a side business, a full-time entrepreneurial path, or a business acquisition, this system gives you structure, momentum, and a roadmap that accelerates your progress. Because your first million is not just financial. Your first million is the million of decisions, habits, beliefs, and actions you align along the way to building the life you want. And that journey starts with clarity. I'm Bo Kemp, and this has been The First Million is Always the Hardest. Thank you for listening. Thank you for investing in yourself. And thank you for committing to the work. I'll see you next episode. And I'll see you inside Life Design.
I just want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for listening, for letting us be a small part of your day, and for joining in these conversations that matter. This podcast isn't just ours, it's yours. We'd love for you to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join our community where you can share your own journey, your wins, and your lessons. And if there's someone whose story you think we should hear, tell us. We're listening. Thank you.